The cross was not an execution. The cross was a sacrifice. And that one eternal sacrifice of Christ on the cross is made present on this altar at every Mass. Why do I have to go to Mass? You can worship God anywhere. Why do I have to come here every Sunday? Because it's only here in the Mass that we get to participate in the one perfect sacrifice of the cross. You can do that nowhere else except at the Mass. When I say the cross was not an execution, it was a sacrifice, what does that mean? Listen again to the words of Jesus in the gospel today. This is why the Father loves me, because I laid down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we read a section from John chapter 10, where Jesus uses this great image of him being the good shepherd. We have that fundamental passage up on the church wall now from John 10. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he says, no one takes my life from me. This is why the cross was not an execution. Someone being executed is not choosing that. They have no other option. But Jesus, we know, freely went to the cross out of obedience to the Father, out of love for the Father, out of love for all humanity. It was a free choice. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is about to be arrested and Peter pulls out the sword and cuts off the slave's ear, and Jesus says, no, put your sword away. Could I not call upon 10,000 angels to save me right now? We know, I talked about this on Palm Sunday, the nails didn't hold him to the cross. It was his love for us. He freely chose it. Thus, it makes it a sacrifice, not an execution. And that one sacrifice is made present at every Mass. I find so many Catholics, even really faithful, practicing Catholics, don't fully realize how important this is. I find a lot of Catholics think that what happens here on the altar is simply just the bread and the wine come forward, the priest calls down the Holy Spirit on the bread and wine so it can become the body and blood of Christ, and so I can receive Holy Communion. Well, that's all true, but fundamentally, the Mass is first and foremost the representation of that one sacrifice, and Holy Communion is the fruit of that sacrifice. It's what I receive from the sacrifice. How does this happen at Mass? How does this event that happened 2,000 years ago, how is it made present on this altar and every altar around the world where a Catholic priest celebrates Mass? How does that actually happen? The church teaches us there's two ways in which two signs that really help make present this one eternal sacrifice. First of all, the sacrificial language in the Eucharistic prayer points to sacrifice. Think about the words of institution that's said at every Mass when the priest says, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body which will be given up for you. That's sacrificial language, my body given for you as a sacrifice. Or then when the priest takes the chalice, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. Harkening back to the old covenant that was sealed in blood by sacrificing a lamb. In the new sacrifice, in the new covenant, a lamb is once again sacrificed, but it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ. Even after the consecration, we hear words like this. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just, the sacrifice of Abel, the sacrifice of Abraham, our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. Again, the Eucharistic prayer hints at this idea that this is a sacrifice here before us, that one sacrifice made present on the altar. So one is that the sacrificial language of the Eucharistic prayer. And secondly, do you notice at Mass, when the consecration happens, we don't consecrate the bread and the wine at the same time? Why? Because that's what Jesus did at the Last Supper. We know at the Last Supper, first, Jesus consecrated the bread, and then after supper, he consecrated the wine. We do the same thing in every Mass, this twofold consecration, first the bread, then the wine. That's a symbol that makes present something very important. In every sacrifice, what happens? Body and blood are separated. Again, as modern people, we don't have a real grasp of sacrifice, because we're not really like sacrificing animals anymore like people of old, ancient times. But again, it's a fundamental fact. How would a sacrifice happen? You separate the body and the blood. If you separate body and blood, you die. You're sacrificed. That's why we have this twofold consecration. We first consecrate the bread, then we consecrate the wine as a sign of the separation of body and blood. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus' blood was separated from his body, and that's why he died as a sacrifice. So, through those two things, through the sacrificial language of the Eucharistic prayer, through the twofold consecration of the body and blood, sacrifice is made present. That one sacrifice is made present here. Sometimes Protestants will criticize Catholics that you believe you're re-sacrificing Jesus every time at Mass. Like you're sacrificing over and over and over and over and over again at every Mass. No, that's not what we teach. We teach that one sacrifice is made present under these sacramental signs of bread and wine, which have been transformed into the body and blood of Christ. Now, why is this all important? Is this some fun theological conversation? No, this is essential for us because it all comes down to worship. The greatest commandment, to love God, to worship God. There's no greater thing that I can do as a human being than worship God. But the problem is, I'm a sinner. My prayers, my sacrifices, they don't mean anything to God because I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I'm imperfect. I'm broken. But if I have some place I can go, if there's some perfect sacrifice that I can unite my imperfect sacrifices to, then I can participate in true worship. The greatest act of worship in human history is the cross. The perfect act of worship, the perfect act of obedience, the perfect act of love. I'm not perfect. I can't make a perfect act of love. I can't make a perfect act of obedience, but Jesus can, and he did. And that one perfect act is made present here on this altar so that all of us can unite the sacrifice of our lives, our prayers, our imperfect lives, our imperfect prayers, our imperfect sacrifices to the one perfect sacrifice on the altar. Practically, how can I do that at Mass? Two practical tips. Number one, this is why it's always good to come to Mass a few minutes early, whenever possible. I get it sometimes with kids and it can be challenging, but if at all possible, come to Mass a few minutes early, kneel down and pray, and think about what sacrifices am I bringing to the Mass today? What sacrifices of my life do I want to unite to this perfect sacrifice? Lord, I offer you my family, my friends, my work, my hobbies, my recreation times, my struggles, my difficulties, my sins, whatever. We offer it all to Jesus on this altar. That's how we exercise our priesthood. How many priests are in this church right now? You might say, oh, there's just one in here right now. Well, in a certain sense, that's true, but in a certain sense, it's not true, because every baptized person is called to be a priest. We share in the baptismal priesthood of Christ. And what does a priest do? A priest is one who offers sacrifice to God. That's what it means to be a priest. And how do you do that practically? When you come to Mass, you offer the sacrifice of your life, the sacrifice of your prayers. That's why it's good to come a little early, to prepare yourself for the sacrifice. The other practical thing, secondly, is during the preparation of the altar. When the bread and wine are being brought forward, I know sometimes we can think that during the preparation of the altar, some people think it's kind of like halftime at Mass, you know, we're singing a song, we're passing the baskets, the priests and the servers are doing the thing up here, I can just kind of zone out for about 2 or 3 minutes. No, this is the offertory, this is part of the Mass. This is the beginning of the sacrifice. When we bring before God these measly little gifts of bread and wine, what does God need bread and wine for? He doesn't. He doesn't need our little meager offer imperfect sacrifices. But when we take our little meager sacrifices like bread and wine and the sacrifice of my life and we lay it on this altar, God takes that sacrifice and he turns it into something amazing. His very body and blood. This is what God does. He takes little sacrifices like 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he multiplies it into something amazing. During the preparation of the altar, as those gifts are being brought forward, we all should be asking ourselves, what am I bringing to this altar? What sacrifices am I bringing to unite to the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus? We come to Mass, first and foremost, to enter into the sacrifice of the cross, to participate in that sacrifice, because this is the only place you can do that, is at this altar. And secondly, we then worthily receive Holy Communion as the fruit of this sacrifice. Jesus was not executed on the cross. He gave his life as a sacrifice, as a perfect act of love, and now at the Mass, he invites all of us to enter into that sacrifice. May we have the grace, every time we come to Mass, to remember why we're here, to actively participate in the perfect offering of Jesus on the cross, where he gave his body and blood for my salvation. And the more and more we enter into that mystery of the Mass, the more and more we're able to make a perfect sacrifice of our lives to God and to one another.